Incognito, Stainer had said, and incognito he'd meant, Merlin thought, more than a bit grumpily an hour or so later. In fact, Merlin was more than a little surprised by just how incognito Michael Stainer could be when he put his mind to it. The Archbishop was probably even more recognizable to the people of the capital than King Caleb himself. For years, he'd appeared every Wednesday in Telesburg Cathedral, celebrating High Mass for the people of the capital as their city's bishop, and he'd been even more visible since becoming the entire kingdom's archbishop. Despite that, and despite his flowing beard and strong-featured face, he'd faded somehow into near total anonymity when he exchanged the orange-trimmed white cassock of his exalted ecclesiastical rank for the stark, unadorned brown robe of a simple brother of the Order of Bedard, to which he was still entitled, despite his elevation, and turned the ruby ring of his office to hide the stone against his palm. With the cowl pulled up and his head bent with proper humility, the Archbishop disappeared completely. Unfortunately, that robe was not one of the cassocks Owl and Merlin had replaced. Its normal cloth would offer no special resistance to blades or bullets, which was enough to make Merlin acutely unhappy, although he could hardly explain why that might be to Stainer, which only made him even more unhappy, of course. Nor did he find much to rejoice about in the reflection that a simple brother would scarcely have been accompanied by a captain of the royal guard, which meant Merlin had been forced to make some adjustments to his own appearance as well. He'd left his armor, his guard uniform, and his wakizashi behind, and he'd hoped his katana didn't look peculiar enough to attract undue attention. He wasn't certain how realistic that hope might be, however, since the only two men in the entire kingdom, for that matter, on the entire face of the planet, who routinely carried katanas were His Majesty King Caleb and the famous, or infamous, Sajin Merlin. He was also a little surprised by how much he missed his black and gold livery after wearing it virtually every day for the better part of 2 local years. But the hardest thing for him to disguise was his eyes. Merlin Athrawus's eyes were the same deep sapphire blue as Nimue Alban's, and he had yet to meet a single Carisian with eyes which even approached their color. "I wish to hell these people had at least invented sunglasses or something," he groused to himself, as they made their way through the capital city's teeming, noisy, always incredibly busy streets. Of course, if he wanted to be honest, he could have done something about the eyes before he ever arrived in Caris. He couldn't simply reprogram their color, but he could have used the fabrication unit in Nimue's cave to make himself a nice brown pair of contacts to cover their natural color. "I guess I didn't want to lose that last trace of Nimue," he admitted to himself. "And to be honest, I still don't. Even if it has turned out to be a royal pain in the ass, and one I can't just abandon now that everyone and his brother knows Captain Athrawes has those unearthly blue Sajin eyes. Talk about shooting myself in the foot." His strong suspicion that Stainer was rather amused by his predicament didn't help his mood one bit either. "Just how much farther is it to this monastery, Your Eminence, if you don't mind my asking?" He kept his voice low, and Stainer snorted.
"About another 15 or 20 minutes," he replied.
"If I'd realized we were going to be hiking halfway across the city, I'd probably have insisted on a little better security," Merlin observed. He didn't quite succeed in keeping the asperity out of his voice. In fact, he didn't even try very hard, and Stainer chuckled, then shook his head.
"It's not really all that much farther," he said soothingly. "Besides, the exercise is good for us."
"Thank you for thinking of me, Your Eminence, but I get quite a lot of exercise anyway." Stainer chuckled again, and Merlin smiled, almost against his will. At least the inevitable mid-afternoon thunderstorms which had swept over the capital earlier had continued on their way without lingering.
The air was humid in the rain's aftermath, however, and the fact that it was technically fall didn't seem to have impressed the temperature particularly. According to Merlin's built-in temperature sensors, it hovered right at 32 degrees on the Celsius scale no one else in the entire galaxy used any longer. Fortunately, neither heat nor humidity meant very much to a Pika, and Stainer had grown up right here in Telesburg. The climate didn't bother him a bit, and if he was in need of any exercise, it certainly didn't show in the brisk pace he'd set since they left the palace behind. "Ah, here we are," he said a few minutes later and turned down a side street. Merlin looked around curiously. Despite the arson which had reduced the Royal College to a heap of cinders and charred brick, Telesburg was a more law-abiding and prosperous city than many. Even so, it had its less affluent neighborhoods, and this was scarcely the better side of town. The buildings around them had the run-down look of shops and warehouses whose customers were none too plump in the purse. The odors wafting about suggested that the local sewers could have used a little attention. They'd passed at least two fire department cisterns, which were no more than half filled, and the hard and hungry eyes of one or two of the loungers they'd passed in the last few blocks had convinced Merlin that Stainer had been wise to be sure he had an adequate bodyguard, even if no one at all recognized him for who he truly was.